Hallelujah. Kind of reminds me, Brother Josh, when he was putting that roof out on Colorado. Amen. I remember the first day we was getting ready to tear it off and got up that morning. There was snow on the roof. So my dad was up there shoveling the snow off the roof so he could tear it off. And maybe why he had a knee replaced, I don't know. But then the neighbors came over, man. And they were roofers, jumped on that roof. And I'm talking, man, it's like after a while we were standing around watching. Felt bad, but they just took over. And, man, it's a blessing to have good help, right?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of John, chapter 5, we'll read to you a few verses. There's a little town in the country of Mexico, that a town that I can't pronounce, by the way. Might have to show this to Sister April. Maybe she can pull it out for us. But this little town, they're known for their water. Known for their water. People come and they line up, and the line will stretch for over a mile down a dusty road in this little town, just so that they can get a little bit of water. Listen to this. More than 10,000 people a day wait to get water at this one little well that's in this small little town in Mexico. They come and they walk away with just maybe a little can, maybe just a little vessel of that water, and they take it home because it is said to have healing qualities. Healing qualities. They say it's cured everything from AIDS to cancer, obesity, and high cholesterol. I'm in line. That's right. Boy, drink that water, and it just slims you down. Wow. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? If all you had to do was drink the water, new diet program. It's amazing, though, that people will go to such great lengths and go to so much trouble to find a little bit of water of healing quality. There's a place in India, that this water came gushing out of an old, deserted well. Started gushing out in September of 1992. It's still reported to be flowing still today, but the water is reported that the medicinal qualities of that well has cured a number of skin diseases. Word quickly spread all across the country, and now there is a constant stream of people that flow to this well on a daily basis just to bathe or get a drink out of this well. It is said to have cured a 5-year-old polio victim just by going into the water. Most people that go into the water, they report physical improvements of some kind or another. Yes, a very homely person walked in and came out, and they were beautiful. I don't think that was one of the reports, but hey, you never know, right? Miracles happen. Miracles happen. The owner of the well was offered a very large sum of money. Very large sum of money. And he rejected the offer, saying that he wanted to use the well for the people, not to make money. To think that it had such qualities that somebody wanted to buy the well. Wanted to buy that well. In the book of John, chapter 5, there's one of the most interesting stories there. I find this story to be very interesting. And this story is the story in the book of John about the pool of Bethesda. Once again, it is just a pool of water. Just a pool of water. But it was known for its healing qualities. Let's read John, chapter 5, and if you don't mind, I'll restart in verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Notice the 5 porches. Okay? In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whatsoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. A tremendous miracle. Now I believe that when we read this scripture, we read this verse in the Bible, I have to believe that this is true. That what was taking place at the pool of Bethesda was true. Right? That there was, on occasion, a time when an angel came down and troubled the water. I believe it wasn't true. I believe it would have been spoken a little bit different in the scripture if that was not the case. It probably would have been said that it has testified or that it has said that the... But no, it plainly says that an angel came down and troubled the waters. And there was testimonies of miracles that had taken place in the pool of Bethesda because the angel had come down and troubled the water. It had just didn't happen once. Well, you can imagine if something like this was going on at the Granite City public swimming pool. All right? It's not. Don't run over there tomorrow. If something like this was going on at the Granite City public swimming pool, you would think that there would be a tremendous crowd that would be there. If people will line up by the thousands to take a little can of water that is thought to have healing qualities and put their faith in a well of water and a stream of water that someone has told them that it has healing qualities. I believe that if we had a pool of Bethesda or a pool like the Granite City swimming pool, the water was troubled and people were receiving miracles, I believe people would come from all over the area, all over the country, from all over the world. They would come to have one dip in the water just to get into the water and see if there might not be a miracle. There is a few things about this pool of Bethesda that we need to make note of here, okay? The pool of Bethesda, it was not on a clock. It was not old faithful. You couldn't set your clock to a time when the angel would descend and trouble the water, and a miracle would take place. It was done only on occasion. There was no rhyme or rhythm to it. There was nothing. It was just whenever, however. And so you had to stay at the pool if you hoped that you would be there when the water was troubled. We're not told how frequently it took place. We don't know if it happened once a week, if it happened once every day, if it happened once a month. It might have only happened once every year. It might have only happened just a few times over the whole life of the pool. Who knows? But it had happened enough that the interest had been sparked in people from all over the city of Jerusalem that they would come to this pool and they would linger there and they would wait for the angel to come down and to trouble the waters. I want you to know that this man that had been there for 38 years, he was probably no different than all the other multitude that had been gathered around of all these sick people. They all had faith in the troubling of the water. He believed that he would be healed. He believed that when the angel troubled the water, if he could get there, he could be healed. He had faith in that. He said, if I have nobody to put me in, I can't get there. And while I'm coming, another gets there, and they are healed, and they receive that. You know what? How many people had he received, saw and witnessed them receive their healing and their miracle and go running and leaping and rejoicing out of the pool of Bethesda, and yet his faith did not waver. He still believed that one day the angel would trouble the water. Amen. And he would try to get there. And he would try to be the first. Amen. And even though after 38 years he had still missed out, he still had faith to believe that he could get there. He hadn't given up hope. He hadn't given up hope of another troubling of the water. He wasn't, you know what? I don't know how long it had been since the water had been troubled. It may have been yesterday. It may have been weeks before, months before, years before. But his faith had not wavered. I don't find that he's turning in his, that he's resigning from his position. I don't hear where any frustration in his voice that, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this place. I'm tired of living here waiting for this thing. It's never going to happen. You don't hear him complaining. All he is, he's got faith that it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. He's got faith. If I just had somebody that could help me get into the pool, if I just had somebody to help me get down there, amen, I could be healed like everybody else. Those porches, those five porches, those porches were probably, from what they gather is, they probably built by some beneficiary of the pool. Somebody that had experienced some miracle. Somebody that had experienced a miracle in that pool, and now they wanted to show their appreciation. Or maybe it was done by some kind-hearted person that had a soft spot in their heart for those that were sick and wanted to put up a porch, a covering to shelter those that were sick, those that were lame, those that were there waiting, to shelter them from the elements, to shelter them from sun, and to shelter them from rain, to shelter them from storms. And so they built the porches there, and probably they had names upon them of the person that had showed their kindness to them. Amen. Do you know, I thank God for kind people. People are kind and they are good. But the main thing I want you to realize is, look, to think that God would send an angel to trouble the water. You know, God gets a bum rap sometimes. You know that? When something bad happens, how could a loving God let this happen to me? Isn't that why they do it? That's the first thing, when something bad goes wrong. How could a loving God allow for this to happen? If there's really a God, and he's a loving God, he would never allow this to happen. Let me tell you, what a testimony that we have right here of a loving God. That he is such a loving God, amen, that he would create such a place, and that he would visit it on a regular basis with this presence and with this power, amen, that somebody could leave there with a miracle, and that somebody could leave there with healing in their body. Amen. I think he's a loving God. I think he's a merciful God. I think he is a God that cares about our feelings. I think he is a God, amen, that is moved by our problems and our sicknesses and all that we face in our life. I believe he is a God that is moved in his heart by those things. Amen. And so we have a loving God, and that he would, you know, they say there is multitudes in this pool of Bethesda. Multitudes of people. It was full place. Full place. I when I read here, and I kind of was just doing some looking at the reading some of the archaeological things about the pool of Bethesda, if this is really the pool of Bethesda. And I read here in the Bible where it says there's a bunch of lame people and all that. And then I read that there was a whole bunch of steps to get into the place. whole bunch of steps. You'd think they would have made it more handicap accessible. Think about it. You're building something for the lame and you put steps? Right. So when we think, you know, these people, man, they had a, it wasn't just somebody that come by and get, these lame, these sick, these blind, they had a hard time getting there. It took effort to get to the pool of Bethesda. It took effort to get a miracle. They had no guarantee that it was going to come, but yet they worked hard to get there. They would, when the waters were troubled, they would hurry and try to get themselves into the pool. They would do all of that trying to reach that water so that they could leave with a miracle and leave with healing. Oh my. The Lord was gracious to them that he visited them. But then when I read the Bible, I find that there's a lot of multitudes of lame people and sick people around the pool of Bethesda. But then I read that there's people that didn't even bother to go. There's a man, blind man, down by the pool of Siloam. There's a beggar down at the gate, beautiful gate of the temple. You read all through Jerusalem where people that they didn't even bother to go to the pool of Bethesda. They didn't even try to make the effort. I don't know. If I had something like blindness and if I was lame, a lame man, and I had an opportunity to get to a pool where there might be a chance for me to receive my miracle, I think that I would be there. I would think that I would be there. Even Naaman, as much as he despised the dirty water of the Jordan River, when he contemplated and weighed out the consequences of a life of leprosy or 7 simple dips in a muddy river, he figured, you know what? What do I have to lose? I might as well go ahead and dip in the muddy river. Amen. I think if I'd have been in Jerusalem and I'd have been blind, I would have tried to get to the pool of Bethesda. I think if I'd have been a lame man, I would have skinned my knees. I would have been bleeding from my feet and my legs and my hands where I drugged myself across cobblestone streets to do everything in my power, amen, to get to the pool of Bethesda. I would have climbed steps. I'd have rolled down steps. I'd have done whatever I had to do to get to the pool of Bethesda in order for a chance that I might be healed. Chance that I might be here. Wow. When I read about the pool of Bethesda, you know, we went to Jerusalem on our Israel trip. They showed us the pool of Bethesda. And guess what? There was no lame people, no blind people, no water, no pool. It had went out of business. It went out of business. Now, wait a minute. What happened, Brother David? What happened to put the pool of Bethesda out of business? What happened that they had to put a sign on the door that said, out of business? No longer in operation. What had to take place? Why would something that was so wonderful, so great, go out of business? When I think about it, you know, obviously one thing happened. The angel quit visiting. The angel quit visiting. If the angel don't come and trouble the water anymore, it won't be long. People won't be showing up. If the water don't ever get troubled anymore, people's not going to sit there and wait for it and wait for it and wait for it. Eventually, they're going to give up. But there's something more than that that took place. Something else that put the pool of Bethesda out of business. Can I tell you what I think it was? Amen. I think it was the day of Pentecost. Amen. I think it was when on the day of Pentecost, Amen. When an upper room in Jerusalem, when they brought it out, when the power of God descended in an upper room, and the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, amen, and the whole city was stirred, amen, and immediately, amen, there began to follow after them signs and wonders. Amen. Now there was something more than that. Now is Peter and James, amen, that was on their way. Amen. Peter and John on their way to a temple. Amen. To an hour of prayer. Amen. They come across the lame man and they say, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And immediately he leaped to his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he went with them leaping and praising God. Into the temple. Amen. The power of God came down. Amen. Not in an angel, not by some angelic being, not for a temporary moment, but the Holy Ghost came and it descended down upon men and women and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That they could go about, amen, doing miracles. Hallelujah. That the power of God came down. Amen. If you would have been in the pool of Bethesda on the day of Pentecost, if you would have been in the pool of Bethesda on that day when they went to the temple and they prayed for a lame man and he was healed, how fast do you think word spread down into the pool of Bethesda? How fast do you think it happened? That they said there's a miracle taking place. Amen. You know the beggar out by the beautiful gate? He's leaping and praising God. You're kidding me. He's been laying there for years. He's been placed there for years. You mean he got a miracle? How did it happen? Two men, amen, they said by the power of Jesus Christ, amen, they took him by the hand, they lifted him up, amen, and he's walking and praising God. You're kidding. And I can see as the place, the pool of Bethesda, as lame people and blind people and all those, amen, that were sick and halt, amen, begin to make their way out into the streets of Jerusalem, hoping for a chance encounter. Amen. With one of the believers. Amen. I'm glad I'm one of them. How about you? I'm glad I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? What happened on the day of Pentecost when the power came down? Amen. This was so much better than the pool of Bethesda. That's right. How many of you bought a computer last year in 2012? Bought a computer, laptop. Anybody? Thank you, Katie. My goodness. Few people bought a computer. Well, I just want to let you know it's obsolete. It's outdated. There's something better out there now. Right? There's something better. How many of you got an iPhone or a cell phone a few months back or a year back or 2 years back? It's obsolete now. They've come out with something better. Always. You ever notice that? Yeah. You drive your brand new car off the lot. You turn on the radio and they're talking about a better car. It's like, wait a minute. I just spent all my money. And there's something better. When there's something better comes along, you know what it does? It takes that which is old and useless and makes it obsolete. That's right. There's a reason why none of you rode a horse and buggy to church. There's a reason. I'll tell you why. Amen. You like the air conditioning you have in your car. And the car smells a whole lot better. Amen. You don't even have to have the new car smell to smell better than horse and buggy. Right? Think about it. Amen. You got here so much quicker. It was so much more comfortable. It made it obsolete because it was something better. Amen. I'll tell you what put them out of business. Amen. The pool of Bethesda went under. Amen. The day that the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room because it was so much better. So much better. Well, what made it better, Brother David? Can I tell you, when the Holy Ghost fell, It fell from that time forward. Amen. It didn't come down and trouble the water for a moment and then go back up into heaven. The Holy Spirit went and descended. It didn't come down and move on 120, shake them all about. Amen. And move, go back up into heaven. It didn't just come down, but it came down to stay. Amen. It came down to dwell with us. It came down to reside with us. It came down to abide with us. And can I tell you, the Holy Ghost still abides with us today. The same Spirit, amen, that fell on the day of Pentecost, amen, still resides in the church today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, you don't have to. It fell to stay. It's still moving in our life. The Holy Spirit is still moving. Amen. Something that made the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost better than the pool of Bethesda was this. Amen. Was the fact that not just one person could be helped. Right? Not just one person. Amen. But when we read the scripture, we find that multitudes were healed. Amen. As many as would come out. Amen. They would line the street that just the shadow might come upon them. Amen. That their shadow would fall upon them and they would receive healing and they would receive a miracle. Not just one person, but whosoever could believe and whoever could put their faith in and believe in Jesus, amen, could receive the touch that they needed. Amen. It's not just limited to one, but it's whosoever will. Amen. If you have a need, God can move for you. Amen. It's so much better. It's so much better. So much better. Hallelujah. Amen. The day of Pentecost, amen, it made the pool of Bethesda obsolete because, amen, it came to stay. Amen. It moved on more than one. But can I tell you that, amen, it proved to be more effective. It proved to be more effective. But you know, there's when in every situation there is, amen, the human element that gets involved, right? Because I know that if you look back over Pentecost, I can tell you of great things that have happened, tremendous miracles, beyond the book of Acts. That's not where it stopped, okay, by the way. Somebody said this a few weeks ago. Amen, but the book of Acts is still being written, all right? The book of Acts is still being written today. Amen, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is still in action. He is still in action, and he's still doing miracles, and he's still performing wonders, and he's still healing, and he's still delivering, and he's still working in people's lives, still today. Amen. That tells me that, you know, we're moving on 2,000 years here, 2,000 years, and nothing better has come along to make the Holy Spirit obsolete. Nothing better has come along to put it out of business. Nothing better has ever come down, amen, amen, because this is straight from the throne of God, amen, and it is the real thing, amen. Anytime you have something that can stick around for 2,000 years, it's got to be pretty good, amen, and the Holy Ghost still works today, and he still does miracles, amen. And we can look back over our history, even in the United States here, and we can, in our near history, over the last 50 years, 75 years, we can tell you of tremendous healing campaigns and tremendous revivals. Amen. Revivals of men like Jack Coe. Amen. Where there's pictures of wheelchairs and crutches, not just piled up a little bit. I'm talking a huge mountain of wheelchairs and crutches and canes and walkers and braces and all kinds of medical paraphernalia that's been thrown on those by people that have been healed in his revival. Amen. It's happened. Amen. Because of the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, when miracles happen like that, it creates a wave of faith that makes people respond. I'm sorry for going long tonight. Man, but it creates a wave of faith that makes people respond to what God is doing, right? That's right. Man, Pool of Bethesda, they had that one thing, man. They could say, the angel comes and troubles the water and somebody gets healed. Man, people come flooding to it. People come flooding, and they come from all around. Let me tell you, church, if we have a move of God, if we have a move of the Holy Ghost like we should have, if we have the infilling of the Holy Ghost in our life like we should have, amen, maybe we need to get together like the disciples and the apostles, and we need to pray once again until the place gets shaken. Amen, until the Lord comes down. And maybe our prayer needs to be, Lord, grant unto us, amen, that with signs and wonders, amen, God, bring back the signs and wonders. Bring back the miracles. Bring back the healing. Bring back the move of God in our lives again, Lord, in our services. Amen, let the word begin to spread once again. Amen, that there's healing in the house of God. Amen, that there's healing in this place. Amen. Amen. When word begins to spread, people come. Hallelujah. If you have a move of God, people will come. If people find that they receive what it is they need in their life, they will come. Amen. Let me tell you what. You can fill a bus just like that. Amen. You can fill a church house just like that. Have a real, true, genuine move and outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. And you will pack out the place. Amen. You will fill a church bus. You will fill as many as you can put out there. Amen. It will happen. I believe that. Amen. I believe it. But I also believe the Holy Ghost does that. People will come. But I noticed something else, though, that, you know, even though the moving of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God can be moving, there's people that will sit right here and they'll never receive it. Some of you have been here 38 years and you still not got it. Some people, they can content themselves to sit around the moving of the Spirit of God and watch it week in and week out, service after service, and never receive what they need in their life. Amen. Listen, it's not limited to one person. It's not like the Pool of Bethesda. But if you will get into the pool, amen, I believe that God could move for you. I believe that God would touch you. Amen, I don't understand. There's people that have needs in their life right now. And it'll only take the move of God, and that's the only thing that'll help them, is the move of the Spirit of God, and they're not here tonight. They're not in this church. Man, I'd be here every time the doors were open. If I had a need in my life, I would be here. Amen. I'd be here early and I'd leave late. Amen. Waiting for a move of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. Praying that God would send it down. Amen. And move on my life and bring me my miracle and bring me my healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't understand what some people wait for. Oh, Brother David, I need an invitation. I need somebody to walk with me. I need somebody to help me down to the altar. Because, Brother David, you know how weak in my ankles I get. And you know, Brother David, how bad I have it. I'm so bad. Oh, yeah. Get up. After 38 years, you think you could figure out some way of having a move of God. Hey, man, after this long, how long do you want to carry? your burden, your trouble, your problem. How long do you want to carry it? God, amen, is still in business. He's still in the business of healing, touching your life. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Say, Brother David, does the Lord really still work in our life? I believe He does. I believe He does. Amen. I believe the Lord still touches people. I believe the Lord still heals people. I believe the Lord still moves on our need by the power of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not, Brother David. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It is that what we're needing here is a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something, amen, that'll meet the need of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother David, don't I need to wait until the service gets pretty high? Don't I need to wait until people shouting and running, jumping and screaming? Brother David, don't I need to wait until the music's going 90 to nothing and the bass player gets up there and the drum player gets up there and the tambourine player that we don't have gets up there and we start beating on things and isn't that when it's supposed to happen? Let me tell you, it can happen right now. Happen right now. Just believe. Just trust the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I guess my question to you tonight is, if you have a need, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You waiting for me to come back and escort you? Are you waiting for somebody to come and invite you? Are you waiting for God to just drag you up here? What is it that you wait for? Amen. The altar's open right now. Amen. If you have a need, I'd like for you to come. Amen. Maybe what you ought to do is just come and stand right here and before God. Amen. And say, Lord Jesus, I need you to move on me, Lord. I need the Holy Ghost to move on me, Lord Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost to touch me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. God's still in business. The Holy Ghost still moving. The Holy Ghost is still working. Amen. Nothing better has ever come along. Now's your opportunity to let God work in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you move in this altar? Amen. And lift your hands as you stand here before God. Say, Lord, move on me, Lord. Lord, move on me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us, oh God, I pray, Jesus. Holy Ghost, come down on us. Holy Ghost, move on us. Holy Spirit, touch us right now. Holy Spirit, move over our soul right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with us if you would? Amen. Let's lift our hands. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tell you what, one touch of the Holy Spirit, amen, can change your life, can heal your body, amen, can do a miracle. Amen. I don't know if you asked in Jerusalem that day, why are you not at the pool of Bethesda? You've got a need. Why aren't you go? Somebody might say, well, the temperature of the water there is really, I just don't like the temperature of the water. They've got that water way too cold. Way too cold. I can't get in that water. Maybe somebody say, why aren't you going? Why aren't you at the pool of Bethesda? Man, I just don't like the lifeguard down there. Have you seen him? He just don't do a good job. He's a lousy lifeguard. Amen. The fact is, guess what? Somebody got a miracle today. Somebody got a miracle today. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what your reason for not coming to church. Amen. It may be too cold in the building. You may not care for the lifeguard. But let me tell you, amen, somebody could receive their touch today. Somebody could receive healing today. Somebody could have their need met today. Amen. And that's what really matters more than anything else. Amen. That somebody receives their touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God. God, I worship you. I give you the glory. Thank you, God, for your help to us. Thank you for your blessings, oh God. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's some still praying. If you would be respectful, amen. Take it to the back. Take it to the back tonight, all right? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. If I could get some men to help Sister Melita, she would like to for some men to help her clear off the platform. Okay. They need some men to help them clear off the platform.
Hi, Mommy.
Thank you.
nothing, bud. I can't do nothing, man. My music.